This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to Playful Beginnings, a podcast about the magic of play therapy for therapists, students, and anyone interested. In our podcast, we'll explore the deeper understanding of play therapy and the skills we use when working with children.
We hope to help you understand the why behind what we do and how it helps kids heal and grow. I'm Dr. Christy Opiola, a working play therapist and university professor in North Carolina.
I'm Dr. Maggie Parker, a play therapist and professor in DC.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Maggie.
How are you?
I am surviving. It's the end of the semester.
It is the end of the semester. We're so close.
We are so close.
And then I get to start on two new course preps.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't end. It's just this semester ends. And then we get to, you know, finish up on some tasks that we didn't get to finish. And then we get to lean into the next.
Yep.
Big task that we have. But it feels like a milestone to make it to the end of the semester.
Yeah.
But no, I'm well. I'm, you know, enjoying the weather. I got my garden planted.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I'm a big gardener. I love flowers. And during the pandemic, I took a gardening class. So I'm like growing my own vegetables in the summer. I just shared. I had so much lettuce, romaine, that I like had to share with everyone in my neighborhood because it was bolting. So I needed to pull it before all the lettuce went bitter. So I just pulled it all to replant. And oh my gosh, I had so much lettuce. I think I created like 10 Ziploc bags of lettuce to give to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have sun in our yard. We have so many like really big oak trees, which is great. But at our old house, the front was where we had all of the sun. And so we planted tons of cherry tomato plants and we would never have them on the vine because all the little kids in the neighborhood would come over and just pop them.
And they're so much tastier when they come, when you can pull them off the vine than when you buy them at the grocery store.
I don't know because I don't like tomatoes, but.
Oh, Maggie, you're missing out.
I know. Like I like make them BLTs and tomato sandwiches all the time. And I just like,
ugh. Oh, that makes my heart sad. I love tomatoes. So as a kid, my maternal grandfather grew tomatoes and my paternal grandfather did green beans. And that's what I remember, him having a ton of green bean plants. But my pop did tomatoes and I would eat it like an apple. Like I would pull a tomato and just eat it. So, you know, there'd be all the juice all running over. Oh my gosh, I could eat a tomato. And he grew, he was in New Jersey, and Jersey tomatoes, oh my gosh, are the best tomatoes. I do not know what makes them great. You could take the same plant and plant one in his yard and plant one in my yard, and his tomatoes would taste so much better than mine. So I don't know what it is about Jersey soil, but man, they grow some really great tomatoes. So if we have any listeners here from New Jersey, shout out, eat a tomato for me.
Yeah. Send us your tomatoes. Send them to Christy because I won't eat them.
Mail me a good Jersey tomatoes. I love just a good beefsteak. Jersey tomato. Even last year, my whole family loves to garden and stuff. And so my sister and I were at a flower shop or like a gardening shop, and they had Jersey tomatoes. Like that's how they were advertised. So I'm like, I have to buy this and grow them. They didn't taste anything like a Jersey
Oh.
tomato. I think it's in the soil, or I don't know what's
The
in the soil
Garden
in
State.
Jersey, or the sun, or they're not far from the ocean. Maybe they get some salt water that gets sprayed. I don't know, but something happens in New Jersey. I'm like,
That's
I told
funny.
my mom, we're going to take a trip and I'm going to dig up some soil and bring it to North Carolina
Put it in
and
a
figure
book.
out if that's it. And she's like, no, I don't think that's going to work. I was like,
Yeah.
I know, I just want these really fond memories I have of my grandfather, and the delicious tomatoes. But anywho, that's not
Yeah.
what our topic is about today.
Yeah. So I had talked with faculty who teaches with me, who's teaching a family therapy course in the rehabilitation counseling program, Dr. Bogmi Das. And she was talking about how she was asking me for resources on different like play interventions and with families. And I was like, well, there's child parent relationship therapy. And she's like, well, I can't find a lot on there. So I did send her to like on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I was like, there's so much.
Yeah, like just like an overview of what it is. Yeah. And so I sent her to, of course, Dr. Nick Cornett, who does a great little video of him doing CPRT. But then I was like, you know what? We could talk about it, and that might be helpful for her students. And even as like we were discussing it, Christy, you had such great commentary on family and what that look like with family therapy, because they don't often talk about kids.
No, my experience in kind of my research into family therapy, it often is meant for the family members at a certain cognitive level. So, we know that kids are still developing in so many ways. And so, a lot of the interventions, right, are met for the more higher order thinkers in the family because they want to do this processing and other stuff, which means they fail to meet the youngest members of the family. So they're either excluded or the younger member is required, right, to try to match the cognitive level, which we know developmentally is not possible. And so they often get left out or are not really included in the family therapy process, which means the whole family is not being served,
Right.
right? And so there's quite a bit of literature out there from the play therapy world about doing family play therapy and really matching your intervention so that the youngest member can also be included. So people like Eliana Gill is a great resource for this. I know there's many others. Hers is probably my primary resource I go to when I'm looking at family play therapy, but other people have spoken about it. Nick Cornett does a great job. He really talks about, and this will link us into CPRT, child parent relationship training. He really kind of looked at those standards of what CPRT teaches and how it really does align with family therapy practices and how it
Yeah.
can be a strong intervention for LMFTs and family therapists as a whole.
That was his dissertation. Yeah. Nick, Dr. Nick Cornett was also in my cohort, so I like to
He's such a great human being.
he's so wonderful. It's always nice to see him. So we'll have to let him know that we're giving him and Dr. Gill shout
We
outs.
should try to get him on our podcast. Bring him
Yeah.
in.
Yeah, we absolutely should. I think there are so many people, and we've also talked about like when talking about CPRT, wanting to get Kara Carnes, Dr. Kara Carnes-Holt on,
Dr.
and
Stratton.
Dr. Bratton. And so, you know, this is kind of an ever-evolving thing, and I don't think this will be the one and only time. I know it won't be the one and only time we talk about
We could have a whole
CPRT.
podcast just about CPRT. So
Yes.
that's how much literature is out there. That's, like there's so many different areas of child parent relationship therapy that we can discuss,
Yeah.
but I'm
And
excited
that's like a
about this.
big area for you. You teach the course, so you're teaching it right now. That was your dissertation. I don't really have a lot of experience with CPRT. I did it in school and ran a group, and then I've run a couple groups since then, but not to the level that you have. And so I'm kind of curious, like what really excited you about it that you were willing to get married to it for your dissertation? Because when you write a dissertation, you are married to a topic for quite some time. You live and breathe it.
You do live and breathe the topic for a while. I've always really been like family and parent oriented. Not only are they good resources, but they're such critical components to child, any type of care you do for a child, right? Children come within a system. We can definitely do interventions with the individual, right? But our interventions become much stronger when the system is involved. And so, and I found so many of my peers were scared to death of parents. Like it just shocked me that people were afraid to work with parents or had such a negative view of parents. And so, I think the other thing that drew me is, a lot of people don't know this. One of my colleagues, when I worked in the hospital setting, and I ran CPRT groups before I ever became a therapist. So I was the lay person co-facilitator to the play therapist doing CPRT. So I learned CPRT really before I learned other counseling skills and co-facilitate it for years in the hospital setting, CPRT groups for children and parents or parents and children who had chronic illness or terminal illnesses, and how do we support them within the medical environment where oftentimes parents feel like their parental role is stripped or minimized, or they lose a sense of, I don't want to say competence, but like value of like what they're offering when their kiddo is so sick. And so that was a big part of it for me, was how do we empower parents to keep their role, and how do we help them support their children? Because we know parents are so much more significant than any other person that is in a child's life. Mm-hmm. In particular, under really high stressful situations, like that parent, like how do I activate this parent and help them support their child? And so I think that's why I was always drawn to CPRT.
Yeah.
It really aligned with my own belief system. It was cool. So if people are not familiar with child parent relationship, its history is actually really long. It is a model of filial therapy, which was coined and created by Bernard and Louise Gurney, and really kind of revolutionizing the way we did therapy. Because at the time that the Gurneys were practicing, right, psychoanalysis was really a strong force within the field. And this idea of many of our problems come from our parents or are caused by our parents. And what the Gurneys stated was like, wait, no, we can help parents become the therapeutic agent in their children's lives. If we can help give them a set of skills, we can enhance the system, which would help, right? Like whatever the child was struggling with. So it had as a ripple down. We start at the top kind of hierarchically and come down to support every person. And so they were giving away therapy skills. Right? They were training parents on some of our foundational play therapy skills to help their kids. And CPRT is a model of filial, and it is a time-limited model. The Gurney's model was not time-limited initially, and I think still today it was really based off parent development, which I think there's a time to use that model. But it's really hard to convince parents that they could be in therapy for a significantly long time learning parenting skills, right? Which is where I think Landreth's model, because he was the first to kind of outline it. And then he and Dr. Sue Bratton helped to kind of manualize the model in 2006. So, and so it's a 10-week model. Each week, it's a group-based model. So parents meet in small groups, but you can also use it individuals with couples. And it's not large group. It's not like you're speaking to an auditorium.
Eight, right?
Ideally, yeah, 6 to 10 parents, 8 being the ideal. And that's not 6 to 8 couples. That's 6 to 8 parents, right? Total. So if you have couples, that's 4 couples.
Total adults in the room.
Yes.
Minus the therapist.
Facilitators, right? And week by week, it kind of has a building block nature to it where you add a skill each week so you don't over inundate the parent with, right, all of this knowledge and all of these skills that they're supposed to turn around and use immediately with their kids. It is a slow progression. We time limit parents when we want them to use this skill, so they don't feel overwhelmed. It also helps if something's not working, that then they don't just disbelieve or jump ship and go some other direction, that they kind of stay the course and you get a chance to work with them before they would practice those skills again and add on the skills for parents. But we teach them, I think it's six skills total, reflective responding, limit setting,
Choice giving,
choice giving,
returning of choice.
self-esteem building, the idea of encouragement versus praise.
Is it em reflecting emotions?
That we consider
That's
that
part of reflective.
reflective responding. That's the first skill we teach. And it might just be five. We do advanced limit setting, so we stack skills together. So maybe that's the sixth skill. We also talk about other helpful tools for parents, like structured doll play and other ways you can incorporate current day information within the model. So when I did my dissertation, I included a lot on trauma, understanding trauma and how that may be playing out for your child and why their responses may not be similar to other children's responses or why they might need a different approach at certain moments, right? As well as the other thing I love about CPRT is it also helps parents grow and it helps enhance their relationships, not only with their children, but I think holistically, because the skills are relationship-based skills. That's what we're teaching parents in this model. And so,
Well, what I think is so neat is that, you and I think for you a little less so just because you already had this mentality and a way of being, but that learning this really shaped how I viewed myself in relationships. And you see that a lot with parents that one, parents aren't, there's no manual. We've talked about that before. And we don't understand child development. We really don't have conversations about it. And we don't know how to respond. So a lot of times, I think in the past we did what our parents did or how we were parented. Now there's this huge social media influence on like how do we parent? And I think this was really innovative. We keep talking about, or we don't keep talking about, but people talk a lot about like gentle parenting and what is gentle parenting. And the way I conceptualize it is really what the Gurneys were doing so long ago, which is how are you responding to your child as opposed to responding to your response?
yes.
And like, how are you understanding your child and really starting to flip the way in which we engage with other people and thinking about the ways in which we communicate that I think is so beneficial.
Yeah.
And even just like having conversations with you about my own children and being like, well, blah, blah, like this is what's happening. And you're like, it sounds a lot like anxiety. And then it's like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I can respond differently.
I swim in it every day. It's sometimes hard to decipher, right? Like what's really happening. You're also so emotionally engaged in that relationship that we don't always have a, like an outsider's view of what's happening. So when,
It
I feel
happens.
fortunate that you call and you, trust me, but I can almost give you like, I think this is what's happened. This is what I keep hearing from you, right? Like, I just wonder if this is more anxiety and you're feeding into anxiety instead of like helping to like set the
The
tone
boundaries
about
around
how to
it.
manage anxiety.
But I think that's what makes CPRT so great is that if the parents like in this group, like there's it's so multifaceted, right? Because if you can start to allow yourself to feel vulnerable in this space, then you can like lift up some of your insecurities, hear that you're not alone in those insecurities, and then have each other as well as a professional giving you feedback. Not just upon what might be happening with your child and what you could do in response, but like what is happening for you.
Yes.
And so it's this multifaceted systemic intervention that I think is unique
Yeah.
and incredibly beneficial that every parent should participate. You can't get that from reading a book. You can't get that from watching a reel.
Right. Like you can get understanding of that from reading
Right.
a book, but like the practical application of that. And often when I think of CPRT, I think We talk about it as a three-tiered model all the time, you know, which is like how we structure it and kind of how we lay out each session. But I think it's also a three-tier model in the sense that, right, we're helping to focus on the needs of the child. We're helping to focus the parents on their own parental need and their own self-awareness, right, and how they're meeting that need of their child. And then we're focusing on the relationship between the parent and child, right? So that's the three tiers that I think of. And even when I structure feedback and responsiveness, right, like we start with how's this impacting your child? What are you noticing on your child? And then I slowly shift into what's happening for you right now? Like, what's going on? I'm noticing you're having a big reaction, or no, what's coming up for you when your child does this? So I really kind of then lean into like self-awareness, how my child is impacting me, how I impact my child, right? Like those internal components, which then helps enhance the relationship. And as we model that for children, right, then our hope, and I think what we've seen in research, is that children then model that back, right? Like we build intergenerational impacts of how people relate to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also like three-tiered in the sense that first, you started as a group, right? So you're focusing on the group and normalization and engagement. Then you're focusing in on psychoeducation and teaching the skills and what does this look like and experiencing and processing that. And then it's supervision. So you're bringing in video, like the parents bring in videos each week of them engaging in these 30-minute sessions. And then you're giving feedback and encouragement, really focusing on what they're doing well and things that they could try, as opposed to like, that was terrible. No parent wants to hear that that was terrible. And
here's
so
the thing. Here's the reality, Maggie. So many parents already hear that.
Yeah.
So many parents already feel judged and devalued and incompetent because they hear that from their community. And it's in both like overt and covert ways. So like sometimes people actually say that to parents, like they are unkind.
I've had parents tell me I was doing a bad job.
Yeah. And family, friends, and absolute strangers.
Yeah.
Right. It's not even like,
no, it's like some random person in the
person, or they give covert, right? Like these subtle ways of, here you're in the grocery aisle with your child who's throwing a temper tantrum, right? And no one comes down the aisle. That's a covert message that, right, like you as a parent is internalizing, like my kid is so out of control, no one wants to be around us. We don't consciously think of that, right? But that's the message we're getting. Or the mom at the grocery store at 9:30 at night with two little kiddos in a cart that who are melting down and people are giving side eye. Or one parent shared that their child really wanted a candy bar, right, at the checkout, and the mom said no multiple times, right, was trying to set a boundary and a limit, and the person in front of her bought her child the candy bar and handed it to the kiddo, right? Like, how is that? I know.
The mom, so if you're not watching this, my mouth is so wide.
I know, but right, what? Those are the messages, right? Or you get feedback constantly about, well, you should do it this way, you know, you're not being strict enough. Like all of those send messages to parents. What I love about CPRT is it's really strength-based. It's really looking at what are parents doing well instead of all the things they're doing wrong. And how can I add tools to your toolkit that you find useful that you can use with your child? That is the gist of CPRT and like my goal as a facilitator of child-parent relationship training.
Trying to, I think we're like recognizing it a little bit. I think that's part of like what that gentle parenting a little bit is like getting into.
Yeah.
But even as someone who's been trained in this, I still struggle to recognize the emotion, because that's not, last week we talked about questions. It's pieces that are important and helps you feel connected. And we don't always have to teach, like it's okay or correct.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be, I wish I could find a C word that would really fit with that, but just to be present and engaged.
Well, I think it
connected.
You did it.
I just think this is really helpful. And I know this is just like a quick overview, and I know there's like so much, we will continue to talk about it, but I just wanted to kind of give an overview for Dr. Doss's class. And if
others out there who may hear. Yeah. And don't forget to like, and subscribe to our podcast, as well as go to our webpage, playtherapyspace.com. Well, as you can email Maggie and I with any questions, or if there's particular topics that you want us to address, don't forget to send us. You can do info@playtherapyspace.com, or you can do Maggie@playtherapyspace, or Christy@playtherapyspace.com. So please connect with us. We love to hear from you, and we respond to your content. So share with us. We're happy to do a podcast in an area that you're really interested in, hopefully, as long as it's related to play therapy.
Well, thanks, Christy. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Have a good meeting. I know your thing binged, and it's yep. Wednesday. We're in meetings all day. So
a Knox, I gotta go.
Yep. Miss you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.